Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, folks, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Hope you're doing good. Happy Friday to you. My goodness, it's almost as if we've had like 3 weeks piled into 1 week, and especially here at our National Broadcast Command Center in Memphis, Tennessee, where we have been dealing with unbelievable amount of snowfall. And the big problem, of course, we just generally do not get this much snow in the South. It's beautiful outside. It was very nice for the first day, but here we are for over a week now. And fortunately, the folks who run the power grid have done a pretty darn good job. Unfortunately, we only have 8 snowplows for a metropolitan area of about 1.4 million people. So, you know, you got that to deal with. But it's the same thing happening in places like Texas and Louisiana and Mississippi. And, of course, our good friends in Arkansas, where you guys have been getting hit hard as well. All that to say, here's hoping for a very quick thaw. So we've got a great hour. I want to start out by going directly to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. And I want to say hello to a friend of this program, the great governor of the state of Tennessee, Bill Lee. Governor, hope you're doing good today.
Yeah, I'm doing great today, Todd. Thank you for having me on.
And Governor, first of all, just my hat is off to you. I mean, the way your administration has handled this big winter storm and it's really impacted the entire state of Tennessee, your team has just really done a terrific job here.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I've got to tip my hat to the folks, the men and women who are out there every day here in the last several days, from road crews at TDOT to power crews across the state. We've been very fortunate and kept most of the roads open and most of our power to folks. But there's a lot of people working really hard to make sure that happens.
I did have one request from one of our listeners. They love Central Barbecue here in Memphis. They wanted to make sure, they wanted to see if you could designate that as an essential service, the barbecue joints. Is that possible? I don't know if it's possible.
I hope so. We might have to look into that.
All right. Please do, Governor, and get back to us on that. Governor, we wanted you to come on the program really to say thank you for being just an incredible defender of the unborn. And you made a lot of promises out on the campaign trail, and you have delivered when it comes to those issues regarding life and this pro-life legislation that has everybody so excited. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, why this is such a passion for you.
Well, you know, for many years, and I'll add it's a passion for my wife, Maria, as well. She remembers marching at the March for Life in D.C. as a young child. She grew up in the D.C. area. But we both have a very strong belief that we have an obligation to protect the lives of everyone, including the unborn. And I have personal experiences in my own life with really troubled pregnancies and circumstances that made me have a great appreciation for that child before they're born. And so we strongly believe in that, and I will continue to defend and protect those lives as vigorously as possible. Very encouraged about the piece of legislation we brought forth last year, and it got passed. We hope that will stand up in the courts. And most importantly, we just hope that we can protect the lives of the unborn in Tennessee.
And of course, and you go far beyond that, though, it's a comprehensive plan by promoting foster care and adoption. And those are big deals. Those are big things. And people are so excited about what you and your administration are doing.
So I was just talking yesterday with a group called the Human Coalition that works with states really to develop policies, because pro-life is, in fact, a lot more than just protecting the unborn. It is about families and adoption, foster care system. We are working and we'll be announcing this year out of the governor's office a number of initiatives that will strengthen our foster care system, that will strengthen the ability for adoption to take place, that will provide extra services for moms who find themselves in a situation that they wish they weren't. So for unwanted pregnancies, we're working to make sure that we provide a holistic approach to life. And part of that even is working with the juvenile justice system, and as we talk about custody and foster care and adoption.
You know, Governor, as we look at the political landscape really around the country, we're hearing more and more people talking about how it's so vitally important for the states to be that firewall for some of the radical legislation coming out of Washington. What are your observations about that, and what are you doing for, you know, in the volunteer state to fight back?
Well, I think one of the most important things that Americans have to remember is that there is a 10th Amendment, and it's a very important component of the Constitution that gives states broad rights to operate within the desires of the people of that state. I know that's true. There are a number of governors that we're working with right now to make sure that we serve the people of our state by working together to make sure that the federal government understands that states know better what they need than the federal government does. We know more right here in Tennessee about what we need in Tennessee and what the people of Tennessee want their state to be like than the federal government does. So we have to defend that right, pursue it, and make sure that we protect the ability for our state to make its own decisions. That's been true since the beginning of this nation. We just have to remind and defend that position.
Governor, a lot of states are considering legislation to protect biological girls when it comes to sports and bathrooms and locker rooms, the big transgender debate. Have you guys started having those discussions in Tennessee?
There are bills in the legislature now that address a multitude of those types of issues. I have said that we have to look carefully at language to make sure that that bills are crafted the right way. But with regard to that issue, I've said that I do believe one of the challenges with, particularly with transgender athletes, is that it has the real possibility of destroying women's sports. I mean, women's athletics has come a long way over the decades, and this threatens to put a glass ceiling back over women that hasn't existed for a long time.
Is that a big concern? Are you hearing from folks here in Tennessee about that issue?
Well, we've seen across the country examples of those who really have pushed against the idea of, particularly in sports teams. So, you know, it's an issue that's surfaced in multiple places, and it is being talked about in the legislature. So we'll see where it comes.
And also, you know, again, you are a Republican governor from a very prominent, prominent state. Looking towards the future here, and there are, you know, let's be honest, the Republican Party having a fierce debate over the direction of the party, the involvement of President Trump in the party. Where do you fall on all of that?
Well, you know, I'm actually pretty encouraged about the possibilities and the opportunity for the Republican Party. In this last presidential election, the Republican candidate received more. President Trump received more Hispanic and African-American voters than we've received in the Republican Party in a presidential election in 60 years. And I'll say, too, you know, I come from a background of running a company that was made up primarily of skilled workers, plumbers and pipefitters and welders, electricians, working Americans, working class Americans. And the Republican Party has arguably become the party of the working class. And that was, you know, the Democratic Party laid claim to that for a long time. President Trump deserves a lot of credit for that, for pulling that part of the electorate in. But there are some very good signs. When you're the party of the working class and the folks that get dirt under their fingernails and know what that's like. And when you are expanding your base into the African-American community and the Hispanic community, there's a lot of positive things about that.
Governor, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. Before we let you go, though, we just posted a link to your Twitter page and saw some interesting video of you guys at the farm doing some southern, I guess it's southern sledding, redneck sledding. I don't.
Yeah. Well, somebody asked me this morning, was that a custom made sled? And I said, that is a cattle feed trough that we pulled off of the rack and sent down the hill. So everybody has to have fun however they can do it.
So we had a guy, we have video on our page. There was a guy who had a tow line tied to the back of a pickup truck going down Poplar Avenue in Memphis. He was snowboarding. And it's great video, Governor. It's about 20 seconds. And at the very end, you hear one of the people filming saying, uh-oh, here come the police. So,
some kind of sledding is smarter than others. You got to be safe. Yeah,
got to be safe. Absolutely. All right. Well, Governor, hope you and the family stay warm there. And again, thank you for being such an outspoken supporter of the pro-life movement and the great work you're doing in the volunteer state.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. Glad to be on.
All right. Governor Bill Lee from Tennessee. And look, there are a lot of people out there that say they're pro-life. They get elected, and then they get a little bit squirrely. Not Bill Lee. And we really appreciate that, and we salute lawmakers who take a rock-solid stand like that. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Going to the phone, CT in Arkansas coming up. Got a couple of lines open, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
What an honor to have you with us on this Friday edition of the show. A snowy day here in Memphis, Tennessee. Hope it's nice where you are today. Open line Friday. So here's what that means. If you are, if you got something on your mind, you want to pick up the phone, just give us a call. I will answer your questions. It doesn't matter if it's off topic today. Fridays, open line Fridays here on the Todd Stearns Radio program. All you have to do is pick up the phone, give us a call. We will even pick up the tab, 844-747-8868. We did that, Grace. That's why you didn't get a raise this past year, because we wanted to give people a... Yeah, I know. So. But don't take it out on the callers.
I'm generous. It's okay.
You're very kind-hearted. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Let's go to Arkansas. CT hanging out with us on KARN. Hi, CT. What's going on?
With all this hullabaloo about Ted Cruz fleeing, I want to give you two examples. Because I'm old enough to remember in 2009, that the Democrat House of Representatives of Texas fled the state to Oklahoma and held up in a hotel room because they refused to vote on a Republican bill. You recall that?
Wow. You know what, CT? You have a great memory. I do remember that story.
And also, do you remember during the shutdown of 2018 that Nancy Pelosi and about three and a half dozen other Congress members fled to Hawaii and Puerto Rico along with their lobbyists instead of trying to work something out with Donald Trump about the budget?
It's another great point you bring up, CT.
I don't forget anything, and I do not forget rhinos either.
Well, you know what? It is a double standard, and that's why it troubles me that Ted Cruz, he fell into the, and I get it. You know, you want to do the, you know, he felt like he maybe screwed up. This is just it's a trap, CT, and we've got to be smart about this kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, you know, shook their finger at Trump's language, but sometimes you got to be harsh with these people because a bully doesn't understand niceness. They don't. They don't understand anything until they get punched in the mouth, and then they sit down and they throw a fit and cry like the media and the Democrats do whenever Trump punches them in the mouth.
And that's why they hated, you know, you've got a lot of great observations here, CT. That's why they hated Trump, is that they knew that they could not, you know, they could not get under his skin. But and the great irony is he got under their skin and he's still under their skin.
It's almost like he read Rules for Radical himself, huh?
Yeah. you gotta know who your enemy is, CT. You gotta know who your enemy is.
Yes, sir, you do. And I'm not, hey, have you ever heard of the 45 declared goals of the communist takeover of America that was written in 1958?
You know, it's been a long time since I've read that, and we don't have time to go through all of them, but give us one or two of those, CT.
Well, promoting the United Nations as the only savior for a world government, promoting homosexuality as healthy and natural, discrediting the founding fathers, infiltrate both parties, dismantle the FBI and or infiltrate it, nuclear disarmament, teaching socialism into the schools, infiltrate the unions. I mean, I can go down the line, my man. There's 45 of them.
No, I know, and we just have time for a few. But this is, look, I think we all know where all of this is heading. We all know where this is going. And it is incumbent upon all of us to fight. And we can do that by reclaiming the Republican Party at the local level, getting involved in local and state politics. As we were talking with Governor Bill Lee from Tennessee a few moments ago, the states are the firewall against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We've got to hold the line. CT, thank you for the great call and great insight as well. By the way, and just look at Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, we were supposed to stay inside our homes during the shutdowns. And what was Pelosi doing? She was going out to the Supercuts and she was getting her hair done up. That's what Pelosi was doing. So give it a rest. All right, let's go to Elizabeth in North Carolina, listening to us on the Talk Station. Hi, Elizabeth. What's up?
Hey, Todd. I'm hitting on that subject where you're talking about that it's gotten so bad that it doesn't matter what we say on Facebook. If we're supporters of Trump, they figure out a way to come back at us with ugliness and, I mean, it's just unreal. Like yesterday, I was complimenting a young lady about a beautiful foal she had because I love horses. And she turned that somehow into a fight with me. And I said, honey, I didn't come on here to fight with you. I was congratulating the beauty of your horse. Well, right after that, there was a post, something about Nancy, and a Jonathan guy had posted it.
So you're talking about, so you're facing some bullies there on social media. Is that right, Elizabeth?
The Republicans are getting blocked left and right. Like,
well,
in Facebook jail.
Boy, you've got that right, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, we got to take a break here. I'm terribly sorry, but and my condolences to you for being in Facebook jail. Nobody wants to be there, but, you know, it happens. We're in Facebook jail right now. We didn't even do anything. Very odd. All right, folks, got to take a break here. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you are having a terrific Friday, getting ready for the weekend. It is Open Line Friday here on the show. That means you can call in and talk about anything you want to talk about. If you have a question you want to ask, you can do that. And as always, the folks who have negative things to say. So if you disagree with something I've said, you go right to the top of the line. The front of the line, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Richard is hanging out with us on WLOB, our great affiliate in Portland, Maine. Hi, Richard. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Frequent listener to the show. Thank you for allowing me your platform to be able to voice my opinion. I'd like to make a little statement that I actually posted to your Gab site, if you'd allow me to be able to do that.
You most certainly may, Richard.
Awesome. I'll try and get this through. I can keep it under 2 minutes, I think. I know we're on a timeline, but let me just say that it's abundantly clear from the congressional response to the impeachment that the Republicans still cannot see the forest through the trees. We want the fraudulent election litigated. We want our votes and our voices to be validated. We don't need Trump to tell us what a blind man can see. They stole this election. All political parties are going out of their way to ensure that the election is glanced over by calling it conspiracy or outright lies. They are intentionally and fervently and feverishly trying to bury the real issue because they know that we know the objective they achieved was to get rid of the man that truly represented the voices of the people and our America First agenda. They are so threatened by us and losing their stranglehold on our freedoms and liberties that the Republicans allowed these communists to take control of our government with the pretense that they will take back all they've lost. That's hubris. Communists will ensure that not another opposition party will ever hold power again. The history of communism bears this out. Our responsibility is clear, Todd. It's outlined in our Declaration of Independence. I suggest everyone read it and make ready to take this country back by removing, abolishing, and replacing this tyrannical government with one that will support and protect the Constitution and the people of this great country.
Richard, I think that is a terrific thought and a terrific statement. And folks, Richard, you wrote that on our Gab page, and so we're on Parler and Gab as well as the other social media platforms. And I would love for you to go and read for yourself what Richard just shared with us. Richard, God bless you, and you're right. I have no doubt in my mind that President Trump won on Election Day. The problem is I don't have the evidence. Somebody's got the evidence, but I don't have the evidence, and you got to have the evidence. So, Richard, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening to us. You know, we've been talking about the cancel culture mob for quite some time. We were doing that when it was not cool to talk about that. And early on, I pointed to an incident that occurred with the guy who is a great American patriot and is responsible for many Americans putting on a few extra pounds. The founder of Papa John's Pizza. I'm a huge fan of that pizza, by the way. John Schnatter, it was the founder or is the founder of Papa John's. He stepped down back in 2018 after he was falsely accused of using racially charged language. And back in December, the FBI exonerated Schnatter of his use of this racial epithet after an investigation. He's a good man, a decent man. And what happened to him should never happen to another person in America. But instead of letting the cancel culture mob get him down, John took a stand. And now he is coming to the defense of another Papa John's employee, and we're going to let him tell the story. John, first of all, I got to say, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
And I got to tell you, John, you know, I lived in New York City for about 15 years when I worked at Fox News, and I know they've got some pretty decent pizza joints up there, but I was still a Papa John's man. I got some grief for that, John, but I still order Papa John's.
Well, you like it. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's magic, don't you?
It's good stuff. Those are magic words, John. Magic words. So let's talk about what happened here at this. There's a pizza joint, Papa John's Pizza Place in St. Anne, Missouri. Tell our listeners what happened.
Yeah, this is pretty horrific. And my opinion on this is if Papa John's doesn't do the right thing here and get on top of this, this George Mitchell situation, which is just dreadful, is going to turn into a George Floyd situation for this company. This kid.
Oh, did we lose John? I think we lost our connection with John. We're going to try to get him back, but let me fill you in on the story about what happened here. There's a guy by the name of George Mitchell. He is an African American man. He is an employee, or was an employee, of a Papa John's establishment there in St. Anne, Missouri. And he had been facing some pretty horrific racist attacks. And instead of just, and he was going to complain about it, when he complained, management would not do anything. They said he was making it all up. So one day he said, you know what, forget this. I'm just gonna record the hate and the vitriol that was going on. And that's exactly what he did. When he presented all of that to the corporate office, Mitchell was fired. And so now John Schnatter, who himself stepped down as the CEO of the company back in 2018, is coming to this man's defense. It's an amazing story. And, you know, we appreciate the fact that John is standing up, taking a stand. He is not backing down, and he's standing alongside this former employee. So anyway, we're having a little issue with our phones, and again, this is we've had some issues this week, folks, mainly because of the snowstorm and the massive amount of ice. So just bear with us as we go through this little issue with our telephones. But we've got a link to the story. KMOV is the television station, the CBS affiliate in St. Louis, and they were among those covering this story. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, we're going to regroup here, going to take a break. While we are in our break, we want you to go to our website, toddstearns.com. While you are there, we have some great free resources for you as listeners of this program. We have a weekly newsletter that comes out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We also have our terrific podcast. So if you miss an interview, you can simply go back to the website. You can listen to that interview free of charge. We do not charge you a single penny for any of the things that we have on the website. All right, going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Open line Fridays. We do have our phones restored, so give us a call back. By the way, you know, we've been talking a lot about future Republicans. Who is going to be that person that's going to carry the mantle of Donald John Trump? And there are a good many people who want the president to run again in 2024. There are others, including Steve Bannon, who suggested that what Trump ought to do is become the next Speaker of the House. In other words, work with the Republicans, get them control of the House of Representatives in 2022 and regroup and then install Trump as the Speaker of the House. I'm not a big fan of that. I mean, he is the President of the United States. So if Trump wants to run in 2024, I say let's let him run. I mean, I don't see anybody else out there who generates the excitement of Donald Trump. Now, I will say this, and think about this for a moment. If it is not going to be Donald Trump, Trump says, you know what, I'm done with politics. I'll go out there. I'll campaign. So who is that person? So one of the individuals that is looking very, very attractive as a candidate is the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem. And she has really done a terrific job leading this country, or leading her state, rather, and really leading the country in protecting civil liberties while addressing the China virus pandemic. And a lot of people are very excited, very bullish about Kristi Noem. I'm curious to know who you think might be able to carry that torch and be a leader in the Republican Party. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868, J.D. in Illinois. Hi, J.D., what do you want to talk about today?
I was wondering if you remember, can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear.
Okay, a few years ago, I think it was early on in the Trump administration, there was a private effort to fund the wall. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Well, I'm wondering if that could be revived, if there was any interest in reviving that. And memory tells me, and my memory is very faulty, but memory tells me that it was Steve Bannon that was ahead of that.
I got to tell you, JD, I was not a big fan of that effort. And the reason I say that is our tax dollars are already being used to build the wall. So why would we need to use our own personal funds? But there were people who wanted to build the wall, and they felt like that was a big deal. And look, if you want to give your money to that cause, I think that's all well and good. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to amount to much.
Well, again, from memory, didn't one of Biden's executive orders kill that?
Now, to be honest, I can't tell you that. I do not know the answer to that question.
Well, there's a whole ream of executive orders.
There are about 70 or 80 or who knows how many. So, if that's the case, J.D., but again, I'm not sure that's going to work. And I'm not sure they're going to be able to generate enough money to do another project like that. If memory serves me correctly, I don't think they built that much of a wall for how much money they raised. JD, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Daphne, listening to us on WPMO. That's down near Pascagoula, Mississippi. Is that right, Daphne?
That's correct. And what I wanted to say was I had not heard you repeat this, but I did hear on the radio this week that the Supreme Court was going to hear the cases that were tried to be presented by the different states that had irregularities during voting, and they're going to make a decision before the first week in March whether or not to hear those states' cases.
Yes, Daphne, I had heard those same reports, and so that's a glimmer of good news when it comes to those of us who believe there was voter fraud and this election was in fact stolen.
Yes, that's after the fact, but that's better than nothing. At least we'll know how to prepare our own and what we need to be doing. When I keep hearing people say, well, what can we do? And they say stand, or they say fight back. Well, we need to be specific. We need, if it has to be the Tea Party, because they are an organization that can come up with different ways that we can go to the courthouse. We can help them go through the polls, clean out the voter rolls, and we can offer to assist for authorizing signatures during voting. There's a lot we can do, and the biggest thing is not to give them our money, those that are hold policies, the companies and the corporations that hold policies that are against what we believe in. If we give them our money and go spend money with Coca-Cola or Target or any of those other big organizations, and I have a list, and I watch, I can be a good steward of the money God gave me.
Daphne, I have no doubt that you could be, and but you are right. It's not just a matter of saying take a stand. It's actually practically doing something in the process of that, and we've got to be smart about it. We talk on this program a lot about being happy warriors. Conservatives are naturally happy people. We love America. We love life. We love our Constitution, and that's why we are so passionate about defending those things. We are so passionate about defending life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's why we do that. So
We put up with wishy-washy Republicans, and so we need to quit sitting on the couch and get up and do what we can do. And we can go down to the courthouse and assist them with, and we can say we, in our state, let's start an organization. We want voter ID. You know, we don't have to put up with the nonsense. We knew they were going to pull some kind of nonsense. We just didn't know how bad that they were going to be to steal the election.
And Daphne, to that point, I think that people were not convinced at the extreme levels the mainstream media and the Democrats would go to portray all of us, all 80 million Trump supporters, as a bunch of white supremacists. And I think we are going to find out when they finally release the investigation on what happened on January the 6th that it was nothing as it has been projected to us in the mainstream media narratives. I think there's a much bigger story there, and I suspect at the end of the day, there was a concerted effort to use whatever happened, which was clearly premeditated, as an opportunity to smear Trump supporters so we would stop talking about voter fraud.
That's not the only area either. Either the schools and the government and any other area that they have deceived us. But we sat back on our hands and said that wouldn't happen. But we need when we're not using it, there's not going to be a vacuum there. Something's going to fill it. And what filled it was they who were determined to show us that they could take over.
It is a fine thought you raise. Real quick, do you guys get any snow down in the southern part of the state?
No, just 18 degrees, and that's enough for me. I'll move further south to Florida.
Yeah, that's the Gulf of Mexico, further south from you.
Yeah, well, I can go to Florida.
There you go.
Warmer anyway. Either that, or just keep wearing three layers of clothes. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I hear Mar-a-Lago is very nice this time of year, to be perfectly honest. All right, you know what we're going to have to talk about, Grace? You have to remind me. We've got to talk about the bear story. This is a bizarre story.
Forget.
Apparently, an entire town was harassed by a bear. And the bizarre part of the story, though, is not that. It's that where the bear was harassing the people.
Mm.
I mean, I think the bear could feasibly be charged with crimes against humanity. So we're gonna talk about this coming up next. Crazy story. Also, John Cooper from my favorite band, Skillet's, going to be here. And we have a couple of other surprises coming up, plus a little bit of trivia, too. Oh, we forgot to do trivia this hour. All right, well, we will do trivia next hour. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.